This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
This tight end, Smith or Smythe?
I believe it's Smythe.
Smythe.
Yeah.
This used to be a...
Durham Smythe.
If you've lived long enough in Chicago, you remember the, what was it, John M. Smith, the furniture store would say Smith, or do you say Smythe?
It is Smythe. I've just confirmed on profootballreference.com.
Okay. It is Smythe, and he is the new Mercedes Lewis.
Like
the,
well, the let's make him better than Mercedes
slash mascot.
Not sure how many first downs he caught last year. I can tell you this. He only caught 9 passes. So
he's already better than Gerald Everett and Mercedes Lewis.
Well,
then.
Yeah. He played all 17 games. This guy's got a strong track record of playing football games. He was also on the field last year. For
Durham Smythe is his name.
Yes, okay. Durham Smythe.
Durham.
Yes.
Durham.
He was on the field for 32% of the offensive snaps, 30% of the special team snaps. So fulfilling a need, certainly, with a second tight end. And if you go back to his first year, Ben Johnson was his receivers coach back in Miami. So he spent 7 years in Miami, and his catches production from the catching side are down, but he is a blocking first tight end.
He's only 29.
Yeah, he's only, how old did you think he was?
I thought he was older. Was
7 years. I mean, 22 plus 7 is
okay.
29.
Yeah, he's a big man. 6'6", 246.
Big target.
Fourth round pick in 2018. All right, sure. Why not? The cool thing is, Ben Johnson is doing all this.
Okay, so
right?
let's just make sure everyone understands out of the gate. You wondered, okay, Ryan Poles, yes, he's in charge, but as I told you, just because he's in charge doesn't mean he's the one making these decisions in his own lane. He has not only help, we'll call it that, I'm using air quotes if you can't see me on Twitch. He has not only help from Ben Johnson, but Ben Johnson is literally telling him at this point what to go get. And Ryan Poles is going and getting said things, and they are building an offense. This is what I expected. It has not disappointed. If it was happening any other way, I would have... I was going to say reservations, but no, I'd be worried.
Another way to look at this is how Poles himself described the interaction. Remember the cohabitation reports?
Yes.
This is probably a product of the cohabitation reports. It's just that Ben's reports take priority over maybe some of the others. So everything else you take under advisement, but when he says, hey, this is a perfect tight end number two, or maybe number three, when all is said and done, depending on who they draft, that, yeah, when he hands his cohabitation reports in there of veteran players with whom he has worked or crossed paths, etc., that if he gets a couple of stars on that review, they go out and grab him, sure.
I one thing I really love about this process right now is that, one, it's yielding high production players for the Bears to use that the offensive coordinator slash head coach, not offensive coordinator, because we know Declan Doyle is the offensive coordinator, but the play caller and the head coach, Ben Johnson, is going to be able to say, I got what I needed to do what I need to do, and we'll see if he can follow through and get that done. But also, the fact that when he was hired and he was selecting his defensive coordinator, he went with a guy he didn't know in Dennis Allen. And here's why that's good. It's because even though his fingerprints are all over this, they'll be less so on the defensive side, where Dennis Allen, a guy who has two-stop head coaching experience and a lot of success as a veteran defensive coordinator, can do what we're hoping is something very similar on the defensive side of the ball. Because if you believe that Ryan Poles needs help, and I think we're all in agreement that he's shown that by himself, he didn't get the job done to the satisfaction, because the wins and losses bear that out. Now Dennis Allen can do the same thing on the defensive side of the ball and say, this is what I need, and hopefully his fingerprints can be all over what happens on defense.
The aggressiveness is what you like, too. And if they are just continuing to go, and continue to fill needs now, it's just less you have to do later, and maybe you got a chance at changing your risk tolerance and your decision making when it comes to some of these draft picks.
Yeah, and the goal for me, for every team, and now we're talking Bears specific, is if you can get to the draft and have as few needs as possible, you're in a good spot. If you have a whole bunch of needs when you hit the draft, and the same can be said about free agency. If you have a whole bunch of needs in free agency, well, now you're up outside of your vacuum, if you will. But you're making trades and making signings that don't have anything to do with the other 31 teams trying to get who you want. You're in a great spot.
Little update here, and some Bears bookkeeping news. Ari Myroff of 33rd Team says the Bears and defensive back special teamer Josh Blackwell have agreed to a 2-year deal worth up to $6 million, putting him among the highest paid special teamers in the NFL.
Love that.
Blackwell was set to be a restricted free agent. Both sides were able to get a multi-year deal done.
So 2 years, $6 million?
Perfect.
All right. Keep adding to the cap or subtracting from the cap.
Up to $6 million, okay, which so leads me later to believe that the cap number might be even lower than that. But Josh Blackwell has turned himself into a pretty valuable player, and he has put himself on that tier of core, not just core special teamers, but perhaps even elite, diversely skilled special teamers. When you start talking about Sherrick McManus and some of the other people who filled similar roles, that he can be an emergency return man as successfully as he did in the last game of the season. He can spell somebody in the defensive backfield as well, but I think he's a full gamut special team contributor.
I love this because it's just further proof of what one thing I feel like we did know about Ryan Poles is, from the bookkeeping in terms of going out and getting guys and making it all fit, he can do that part. It's just the selection and the choices. It's like if I give you a gift certificate, right, to the movie theater, and I'm like, see, this is for you, this is going to be nice, but if you go out and choose to watch a trash movie, I feel like I wasted my gift certificate on you.
Well, then you should have gotten a more specific gift certificate to the movie you wanted me to see.
But I thought I would give you some agency, right? Because there might be two or three good movies playing any given weekend.
Do you ever, are you judgy when you do go to a theater and you know that there's a movie to be seen, and the people in front of you were like, give me a two for Hamster Huey and the Gooey Kablooey, and you're like, oh my God, you're here for that?
It's too expensive today not to be judgy.
I know. It's like, really?
If I am taking time out of my day, first of all, time, because I can't stop and pause the movie like I could at home, right? And then I'm buying your snacks, some of them, not all of them, because I'll sneak in a snack.
You're paying this for Fast and Furious 12?
Hey.
Well, here's the thing, though. They've basically done away with the lines waiting to buy the stuff. Like, the theater I go to up in Skokie...
And I hate it.
...is like, you just walk up and buy your ticket at a kiosk. Or, I mean, I usually get it online anyway.
Do it ahead of time anyway. Scan it.
Yeah, so, like, that... What you're talking about, Dan, doesn't really happen anymore because you're not standing in line behind people buying tickets anymore. You just walk in.
Does this make me cheap?
Well, then maybe I'm judging as I watch people walking into the crappy movies.
Or there practical... When I say that I will go to the movie theater and buy the ticket to avoid paying the surcharge for the advance.
Oh, that's totally fine.
I also like the ritual.
The ritual of...
I like the box office. And then you get your ticket, then you get your popcorn. And if possible, you get one of those plastic bricks of wine. One of those things.
You're just reminding me. They shut
down...
It's
a 375 milliliter...
box of wine.
Wine box. Yeah, get that thing too.
Sorry, go ahead, Marshall.
No, go ahead.
Well, the reason I buy ahead is usually for like the popular movies because I want to make sure I'm good to go, you know? So like I don't want to worry about it selling out or having a bad seat, so I'll buy like a day ahead of time.
That's fair, but I'll literally walk to the movie theater that day ahead of time or 2 days ahead and buy the movie I want to see at the time I want to see it because I'm not paying your extra surcharge. The fees and everything, they're just trying to get over on us, man. It's like the seat license for a game, you know, for tickets. No, I just want to buy the ticket.
And I also don't want dinner. I don't want a wait staff. I want to go to a movie.
Oh, no, I'm completely against you right there. I want the most comfortable, luxurious setup. They closed my local theater. It's supposed to reopen, I think, as like an AMC where this is the full recliner, everything. They'll bring you whatever you order. I love that. I need to feel like I'm comfortable to watch the movie now. It's too expensive not to.
First job was in a movie theater. Fun fact.
How many free movies did you go to?
A lot.
Like on average a week. Once a week or more than once a week?
I don't know, maybe once a month.
Oh, okay. That's not advantage.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
It's time for Ben's Vision.
Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
Projecting how the Bears roster will take shape under new head coach Ben Johnson.
Ben's vision is going to be principle.
These are the type of players that I need. That's the vision.
If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys?
Really enjoy hearing Ben's vision.
Current roster, free agents, and the draft.
Our entire organization's fired up about Ben Johnson and his vision for winning football.
Ben's vision.
This offense will be calibrated with Caleb in mind. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. No, we're ripping this thing down to the studs and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost and then with the pieces around him next.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
What we like to do a couple times a week here in the offseason is go through the roster, see what things we might be able to learn about the new head coach, Ben Johnson. And obviously with the news of today, them picking up Jonah Jackson, you find out that he probably had a big role in saying to Ryan Poles, hey, man, pick this guy up.
Yeah, man.
Help us.
He's in charge of the philosophy of the football organization. So we mixed in with this, we always look back at the personnel usage in Detroit, what he's been around, what he has done, and we try to let it inform some of the decisions that are to be made in this offseason.
So today we thought that we would talk about the wideout position. Now, granted, there's at least three different wideout positions themselves, and sometimes they're asked to do the same thing, sometimes they're asked to do different things. But there's one thing for sure that we need to talk about, and that's whether the wide receiving core, the three guys that were the main focal point of the wide receiving core, are all three going to be back.
Yeah, we know DJ Moore is coming back, and Ben's talked about him quite a bit. We know Roma Dunze is coming back, and Ben's talked about him quite a bit. We don't know whether Keenan Allen, who was a big acquisition at wide receiver 3, or maybe wide receiver 2 with Adunze as the 3, but again, the usage is something we'll get into. We don't know if Keenan Allen is gonna come back. Keenan was open about knowing it's not like he was going to get a huge contract in this coming.
I mean, I'm not looking to make $35
million. Laughing at it. He knows where he is in his career.
I wonder if he's salty about that, though, because one of the things that he was probably looking at is like, hey, I got this. I got the move to Chicago. They weren't going to pay me out there in LA. I have this opportunity with this young quarterback that I like to make some plays. And then the offense itself kind of disintegrated. His numbers weren't terrible. There's 70 catches, 744 yards, 7 touchdowns for him last year. He seemed to be the guy that Caleb, if he was looking to convert a first down, he would look the way of Keenan Allen.
And Caleb spoke lovingly about him. They've got a relationship that goes back. And Keenan was there at the pro day at USC. And obviously some security blanket stuff developed. Let's listen to Keenan talk about whether he thinks he could come back. This from the end of his Bears season.
Obviously a new start for me, a new position, new place, and talking with DJ today, he wants me to run it back. So we'll see.
Do you want to run it back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you talked to them about that at all, or is it something you're going to look
No, I haven't talked to anybody. With a rookie quarterback, it's hard because he has to take his process. Everything kind of goes through him. As much as we want the ball, without the quarterback play, without the coaching staff, you know, without the run game, it's hard for receivers to actually get the ball. Tom Brady talked about it. He's talking about getting the number one receiver the ball and when they take him away. So it's hard. There's a lot of things to go into it, and just got to kind of be ready when that number's called. Anybody can pop off any week. So his potential's through the roof. You see that through the weeks. You know, he's still having good games. His QBR is great. His turnover percentage is great. So, you know, just being able to do that and learning the defenses and the offense at the same time, is that's tough in itself. So I think his sky's the limit for his talent.
So the reason I bring up you wonder if he's upset about it is because there was an opportunity going into free agency for Keenan Allen to continue to build on his resume. And while it wouldn't have been a huge contract, it probably would have been more than what he might get now on the open market. So does he want to stay and continue to grow things with Caleb and work for a coach that I think will figure out a way to get him more involved in the offense, and maybe the offense will look a lot more professional than what it did last year?
Understandable.
Or he could go back to Los Angeles and go play for the Chargers with a team that was in the playoffs last year and a coach that clearly has proven that he knows how to coach offense.
Well, let's take it back to Ben, because this is what it's about, because Keenan Allen is not going to decide his fate as much as Ben and Ryan Poles are going to decide whether they go after Keenan. I thought it was important to look at this. We're always looking at the personnel. 11 personnel, which means one running back,
one tight end,
and three wide receivers. Wide range of how much it was used in the NFL by given teams last year. The Falcons were at the top 85% of the time. They ran 11 personnel with three wideouts. The Rams and Sean McVay, 81% of the time. Okay, it goes all the way down to the Niners, who did it 34% of the time. That's 32nd in the NFL. The Bears and Shane Waldron, 71% of the time. That's 6th in the NFL last year. Their whole design is, we saw three wideouts, put them all out there, scare teams into thinking we can pass, and then surprise them by running. How'd that go? Not so well.
It didn't go great because it wasn't coordinated very well. They did. They seemed to want to go with, we're going to run 11 personnel, and it seemed like it blinded them to building other things that would allow for them to more easily do 11 personnel.
So what has Ben Johnson done in 3 years as the offensive coordinator in Detroit? He last year had 11 personnel, three wideouts out there, 54% of the time. That's 24th. In the NFL. And that was the lowest of his time as the OC. It was 69% in 2022. It was 61% in 2023. So it has been decreasing as he has gone on here. So I don't think wide receiver three is a massive priority for Ben Johnson in terms of having three starting caliber wide receivers from a roster building situation. If you're only going to be a guy who might use three wide receivers 54% of the time, because that also goes to usage, where every one of his guys is sometimes in the slot, sometimes outside. He doesn't have a dedicated, here's my Cooper Kupp slot receiver. That's not how he has done it the last 3 years. I'm on Ross St. Brown, just to finish the thought, Lawrence. 42% of his routes were in the slot last year, his lowest percentage in 4 years. The year before that, 55% of his routes. Amon-Ra St. Brown played outside and played slot, as did everybody on that Lions team. So I don't think three wideouts and bringing Keenan back is a fit for Ben Johnson.
I would imagine that Ben Johnson, if we were to talk to him, he would be talking about pass catchers and not necessarily the position of wide receiver. You saw that they got production from the tight end spot, the way that they used Jahmyr Gibbs in the passing game last year. I think that his creativity is not, at least from what we've seen of him as an offensive coordinator, his creativity is not limited to the personnel grouping. They'll do whatever they need to do to try and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's my question for you, Speaks. Would you move on if you're Ryan Poles, would you move on from Keenan Allen so that you can get Rome Odunze more opportunities as a guy that's not just there in the 11 personnel, but he's going to be out there primarily as the guy, the other guy, opposite DJ Moore?
I think you want Rome Odunze to be able to catch passes in multiple spots in Ben Johnson's offense and have the availability to do so. And I think you want whoever's going to be your third wide receiver to be a blocking beast, because that's what Ben Johnson's wide receivers do. That's what every skill position player on Detroit does. As Ben has liked to say, no block, no rock. You don't block, you don't get the football. Jameson Williams had to learn that in Detroit. Tim Patrick lives it in Detroit. That whole Lions offense plays that way and thinks that way, and I'm not so sure that's a fit for Keenan Allen as your third wide receiver.
Well, and Jameson Williams learned a lot of that from Antoine Randall, who is now the assistant head coach of the Bears.
You think that's a big deal that your assistant head coach is a former wideout?
I think it was a way to get him away from Detroit mostly, but I do like that he's doing that, that it allows him to have a bump up in pay, gives him a little bit of a bump in prestige, and hopefully puts him on the road to someday having his own team. This is what Ben envisions for Randall L's role.
He's going to be charged with not only the receiver room, but really the offense and the entire team. Mm-hmm. That assistant head coach title, that means something to me, that means something to him. He's really going to spearhead our turnaround here in Hallis Hall, and it's going to show up on Sundays going forward. So I think what is really going to relate to our guys is when they understand how wholesome he is and how he's really invested in not only their success as a football player, but so much more off the field than anybody would ever know. So once they get to know the true Randall L, I think it's really going to come to light.
Antoine Randall L was Big Ten Player of the Year as a quarterback at Indiana.
L's a stud.
He is. He made his bones in the NFL as a wide receiver.
And a guy who was willing to do absolutely anything you needed to do on an offensive team.
Including throwing a touchdown in the Super Bowl on a trick play to Hines Ward, which I think is important. You got to remember, Antoine Randall L is my size. He's 5'10" and 185 pounds. And him and Hines Ward were out there knocking people's blocks off. This is something that is now illegal. I just want to make sure that I say that. It is now illegal. But this is how Hines Ward used to get down back in the day.
Back to a regular defense now with four defensive backs. Two tight ends with Moore in the backfield for Roethlisberger from the 43. Fake again to Merelde Moore. He got right by the oncoming rush. The blitz was owned by Jonathan Joseph and Duque on the far side. It's a gain of 6 on the play, and a player is down across the way at about the 43-yard line.
And just keep an eye on Hines Ward. I mean, this is a guy that throws his body around. He is a most complete receiver in the game. He is unselfish, a great competitor, and he's willing to block.
Those guys took pride in catching you napping. And they went for it. There was a level of toughness. If you were going to play for the Steelers of any era, but specifically that era at the wide receiver spot, you better go out and block for somebody. So you had all of those ingredients together with Antoine Randall L the wide receivers coach and assistant head coach Bears.
Love it. That's a great reference. And the way that Lions offense played, I mean, we saw with other teams, we watched A.J. Brown block for the Eagles and heard broadcasters praising him. But if you watched the Lions at all the last 3 years, you saw every single skill position dude blocking their ass off as needed. And I love that philosophy, no block, no rock, man. You Google that and you Google that along with Lions and you find Jameson Williams talking about how he needed to learn that in order to get snaps. He didn't even get on the field. And I thought about this one play, this block of the year play from Craig Reynolds, the running back in Detroit. And I remember because Adam Amin called it out in real time. He was watching it, calling the game, and saw it. This is Craig Reynolds making a block that frees Amon-Ra St. Brown to score. And then you'll hear Amon-Ra St. Brown talking about it after the play.
Under pressure, Goff was protected. St. Brown has it. Needs to get to the 14-yard line, and he will. Craig Reynolds threw the big block.
I caught it, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to cut across the field. I'm going to try to score. So I cut across, boom, and I see this. I see 24, and I'm like, I see Craig come out of nowhere. And I like kind of point at 24, and Craig just comes zooming, boom, lights him up. And he's the reason why I scored. And I give hats off to Craig. It was a huge block. We teach, you know, blocking after the catch so much, and it showed up big time for us when we needed it most. So hats off to Craig, man.
That's how you got to play if you want snaps.
I would imagine that is something that Dan Campbell loves. And I want Ben Johnson to love that too.
I think he does.
And I think that he's teaching it. And that's what you want. You want there to be a toughness about your team. And even though that position, often people don't give enough credit to how tough guys are, that's a way that you can assert it. And the other thing about the blocking aspect, I know that some of that stuff is like downfield blocking after a catch. I want you to make sure that when the play isn't coming to you, that your body language doesn't tell me that the play isn't coming to you. That if it is a run play,
damn right,
that you're on it. You're selling it. And then when there's an opportunity for you to lay hands on somebody, you do it.
When Ben was talking about no block, no rock last week, it was in the context of DJ Moore, because he was talking about DJ and correctly praised him as a run after the catch demon, DJ sixth in the NFL with run after the catch with 588 yards. But then Ben says calmly, but remember, no block, no rock. DJ is going to be interesting to watch in this regard. He actually graded out well as a blocker last year, which actually surprised me as I looked at it, ninth best among all wideouts and with 200 or more blocking snaps.
I haven't seen anything that makes me believe that he's not a willing blocker. There were a couple of weird moments for him, but overall, I think those kind of shaped our view of him more so than what he does down in, down out, and down in, down out. DJ Moore, I found him to be enjoyable to watch as a blocker. He's another guy that doesn't have tremendous size. You know, like, he's not out here as big as, like, Mohsin Mohamed was back in the day.
Right.
Like,
but he's strong. We know that. So, yeah, no, I think it was more a broader message about accountability. You know, like, this is one way that you teach it. I'll say this, though, schematically, all those yards running after the catch for DJ, but so much of it was on bubble screens. I'm excited schematically to see what Ben does with DJ Moore, because that's a guy that you want to get in some space, whether it's quick outs or how about shallow crosses, baby. How many times have we seen St. Brown and others on Detroit wide open on a shallow cross, catching it in stride and running like crazy? And it reminds me of, I think it was Jonathan Vilma who said that in the Detroit offense, the first look is often right after the clear out that they'll use in play action. So they use play action to draw a linebacker up. And oh, look at that. There's a shallow cross right there in the space that's timed out perfectly. I'm looking forward to DJ Moore usage in smarter ways than we saw.
Give me a stick in the seam, dude. Like, put DJ up against a linebacker. Give me a stick in the seam.
Well, all of that stuff, Shane, but I think that Speaks is onto something, because the misdirection, when we spend a lot of time as a show talking about the importance of play action, that's where a guy like DJ Moore could absolutely eat if they get it right.
Instead of these telegraph bubble screens and tunnel screens, we're like, oh, let me get him the ball. And I know you want to do that. You can do some of that. But, man, you use your surprise to get him in good spots. So, look, I don't think Keenan is necessarily a fit. I mean, maybe he will be, but I'm sure there's a wide receiver lower on the free agent market who's a badass blocker, who's, you know, somebody with possibilities, and maybe they'll draft one too somewhere. You could see a fifth round pick as a wideout, and you spend some free agent money on some other spots. I mean, there's potential there. I'll be surprised if Keenan's here.
I can't wait to see what they do with this. Like, Real talk. Like, I'm very excited to see what the Bears offense could look like and what steps they take, like what things will look familiar to us from last year, what things will look familiar to us from last year with Detroit, and how you end up marrying all of that concept to the talent that's on the Bears roster. It's super exciting when you start to really think about what could be done if they get things right, if the offensive line is taken care of, if Caleb is able to get up to speed quickly on this and not have to worry so much about having to make the hero play. Like, now it's all there for you. Here it is. You're going to pull that linebacker up on play action.
Yep.
Would you look at that?
It's the kind of structure that we were expecting to have provided to him last year.
Right, but they have to start over from zero in that case.
You know who that pass catcher is that I think is going to throw a ton like Penei Sewell did for the Lions? It's going to be Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet's going to throw the ball this year.
You think he's going to throw it?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I mean,
yeah. I don't mean to blow up DJ's playbook, but didn't, quarterback and baseball player. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cole Kmet's going to throw the ball this year.
There's going to be a lot of trick plays that are going to be fun. And people are going to say, this reminds me of Nagy early. But just know it's a part of what the Lions have done every single week.
And there's going to be a lot that don't work at all.
Yes.
And they're going to look embarrassed.
How dare you?
I do want them to
stumble bump.
Tanny, we're trying to have a good day, dude.
It's still the Bears.
I thought we were going to have a good day.
Guy wears a new hoodie, and all of a sudden, he's just saying things out of pocket.
I did notice it. Relish? Is that a Relish hoodie?
Yeah, our guys at Relish. Hey, Derek at Relish. Yeah. We love that hoodie.
All right.
Good St. Patrick's Day.
Quality hoodie. Well,
he's feeling a lot of confidence today.
Shane, you wearing the Derrick Rose hoodie again?
Yes, again. Yeah, probably.
Can any of us wear it ever to work?
You can't for sure. I just said to Tanny today, dude, only hoodies are comfortable right now. Like, I'm not heavier than I normally am, but I'm only comfortable in hoodies.
The Bulls were nice enough to send us all those Derrick Rose night hoodies, and you wear it every day, so it kind of limits the rest of us being able to wear
it. It's not an option to wear around here. Yeah.
I talk to you guys more than I talk to my mom, so just text me the morning of when you want to wear it, and I'll make sure I don't.
Shane, I'm okay with you wearing that.
Thank you, appreciate it. It's very comfortable.
It's a solid hoodie, too.
It's a very nice hoodie. I've gotten compliments on
yeah,
on
would love to
on
wear mine. It.
No, from the checkout person at the Mariano's complimented me.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah,
she
said that's a very nice hoodie. I said thank you. She said, yeah, I see Shane wears that one all the time. And I'm like, whatever. Thanks for listening.
Oh, she's a mob member, huh?
And watching.
She said for sure that she would mention it on Twitch. That's for sure.
Yeah.
When we come back.
And that woman's name was Archibald Meatpants.
And that woman's name
is Robbie Triano.
Halle Berry. When we come back, I need a little bit of room because I ran across something that it might be I'm an old man or it might be something that needs to come back. Can I get a ruling from you on this after I make a case?
Let's get Anita ruling in here.
All right, let's do that next here on The Score.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Of your Chicago Bears. I like saying that. It's fun to say. I wonder how they feel in Kansas City about getting just a fourth round pick next year for the multi-time Pro Bowler. Let's ask Danan Hughes, shall we? He is on Twitter at TheHughesGuy83. He is the Chiefs Radio Network analyst, and he joins us on the Score Hotline brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. So what do you think about this deal?
Yeah, I think you got to look at it at multiple sides. Obviously, the business of the NFL can be ruthless at times. It never fails when you start to think about all the details of what we're dealing with Joe Tooney, being a guy that's creeping upon the mid-30s, 1 year left on the contract, done an outstanding job. He was the team MVP this season, voted internally. And he's one of the more pleasant, down-to-earth dudes. And you guys will appreciate that in Chicago because if you've been around NFL locker rooms, heck, any sports locker room, there are guys that you can approach. There are guys that you have to walk gingerly towards. And then some guys, I think some people may just have to avoid. Joe is a guy that you can always approach. You know, for me as an analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network, I go into the locker room, I interview players after games, wins, losses, etc. He's always accessible, always personable, and he knows how to have that light switch. I mean, you have to have two sides of the coin to be in an NFL and to be a dominant player like he has been. And for a guy to be as ruthless on the field but as personable off the field tells you about his professionalism. And then his resume speaks for itself. So I just know I've been around the business. I played. I was a rookie in 1993. Has been a part of the NFL in some aspect from a broadcasting standpoint since I left the game in '99. So I've seen this story before, where there's players out there, teammates that have an allegiance to you, and you know, in one side they say, you know, we hate to see him go, but at the other. On the other side, you recognize that it's the nature of the beast.
And I know that football games are not won or lost with somebody's character. However, I do think that it's important, Danan, that he reportedly brings an even character and an appreciated one and somewhat of a unifying one in a Bears locker room that I wouldn't say it was necessarily lost or splintered, but where we heard a lot of players speak out in the media about how they didn't like the direction the team was headed in. You know, it resulted in, obviously, Matt Eberflus getting fired, but I think somebody like this would be a really stable presence. Playoff, obviously, experience, all pro. You know, the resume that he has speaks for itself when it comes to being respected and what he's done.
Absolutely, 100%. I totally agree. He has that contagious attitude, that infectious kind of character that you want to see, you know, when you talk about a team that hasn't really performed up to standard, when you talk about the Bears, and then you hear about the fracturing internally, you need that stabilizing force. And I think Joe Tooney has shown throughout his career, whether it was with New England and then here in Kansas City, he knows how to be a champion, he knows how to be professional, And he knows how to be a guy that guys can rally around. He's going to be a guy in that locker room that's going to be like, dude, stop complaining. Let's just go to work. You know, it's not that bad. Let's go to work. We got a job to do. And that's where you need those kind of forces. Yeah, you can have the outspoken voices, and you need a complement of that. But you also need the guys that's just going to get down and dirty, be a gritty team player, and comes in with the resume that he has, a four-time All-Pro, four-time Super Bowl champion. I mean, what more could you ask for if you're trying to stabilize your offensive line and be that force? I mean, he has more. I think I read something where he has more first-team All-Pros than the entire Chicago Bears offensive line since 1990.
Are you surprised? Are you surprised it only took a next year's fourth then?
To be honest, I am not surprised in this business at all anymore. I mean, nothing fails to shock me. The fact that you're talking about, from a player standpoint, you know, if you're talking about Mecole Hardman, if you're talking about maybe some of the local Kansas City media, you'd hope for more because of his resume, especially with what he was able to accomplish this past season with moving from the guard to the tackle position when we were desperate, and how he fared out there on the left tackle position. But from a business standpoint, look at the numbers, look what you're freeing up. You recognize that even though you're looking to ship guys off like Joe Tooney, other teams are recognizing that you need to ship guys off like Joe Tooney. So there are teams out there that are not going to break the bank for you from a draft capital standpoint because they know you have to unleash somebody that's going to free up, what did I saw, $12 to $16 million in cap space. Like, so the supply and demand is a factor. You'd like, because of how he performed in Kansas City, you would have liked to get more. But you can also understand the business that with 1 year left, he's going to have to redo a contract or get a new contract in Chicago. Nobody is going to break the bank for him personally when he gets to that destination, and then also open up the bank for you to take some assets from them or more assets from him by trading him. I've seen a lot, so I'm not too surprised. But I will say we lost a great one that will be in the Hall of Honor for the Kansas City Chiefs in the future.
Okay, so you talked about Tooney playing obviously both guard and tackle this past season. I'm just curious as to what you thought about the way he played tackle and how much he can help a team in a pinch if they need somebody with some versatility, because we know what his reputation is at the guard position.
Being around the NFL, it's always about the more you can do. And there's no better example this past season than what we saw Joe Tooney and what he was able to accomplish. It wasn't just that he was serviceable out at the left tackle. He was strong. He was dominant. You can probably say he was one of the top 5 or 10 left tackles in the league when he played there. That just tells you about his makeup, his work ethic, and his attitude and his approach. So, like, if you're a teammate, you can't help. See, there's some guys, being in that locker room, there are some guys that you can't help but work harder because you're working alongside. And I think that's what you can see when you talk about Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, who they franchise tag, and that's part of the reason why they were open to letting Joe Tooney go, because you can't have that much money tied up between your two guards and your center. But from a tackle standpoint, I think if you're Ryan Poles, if you're the Chicago Bears, you are happy to get an all-pro left guard, but you also know in the back pocket that if things go awry and there are issues that come up, which at times they do, you can move a guy out that's versatile enough to play the left tackle and be a Band-Aid, a really, really good Band-Aid for you while you go through that adversity.
And Dan, and that was something that I was thinking about in all of this, was you knew, given Kansas City's cap issues, once they decided to franchise tag Trey Smith, that somebody was probably going to have to go. Was this a thought? Did Tooney cross your mind, or did you have other people in play that might also be casualties?
I think the key word in that question is once. Well, the key part of that question was, once they franchised Trey Smith. prior to that, I thought maybe they could figure out a way to keep all three or maybe even allow Trey Smith to go out and be on the free agent market. But once they franchised Trey, I knew that it was only a matter of time that Joe Tooney would be expendable. And you also have to realize with what the Chiefs have done in the past two drafts, we look at the bright, shiny coins of the Xavier Worthies and the Rashee Rices, but we also drafted, used up early capital on offensive linemen in Wanye Morris and Kingsley Suamataia. And you have to try to figure out, you can't just ship those guys out. You have to figure out if they can be serviceable, if not at the tackle position, maybe at an interior line position. So it sounds like Kingsley is going to have an opportunity to earn that left guard position. And then now that opens the door for them to go shopping on the free agent market and get a left tackle, which was desperately needed. So I don't know how many times you can go early in the draft to the well of offensive linemen and not utilize them. So getting creative with Kingsley and figuring out what they're going to do with Wanye, who they moved to right tackle for a little bit at the end of the season as well, trying to get some mileage out of those guys is part of the reason why they felt like they can get rid of Joe Tooney.
I think it's important what you said, and we played the Tooney comments after they lost the Super Bowl, and that was my first thought was, there he is. Like that, the fact that that's the guy who is there and standing up and is there at his locker or available after a loss.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, well, with the Chiefs, that's really not all that often, frankly. I mean, yeah. some of the Bears teams I covered, that was every week. And you knew who those guys were by the end of the year. You talk about how it reveals character. But it's one thing where the team almost never loses.
Yeah, and it tells you a lot about his makeup and how he can be an effective force and leader in an organization. And how rarely do we say that a left guard can galvanize an organization? But I think Joe Tooney has that makeup to do so. And you think about when we got him, we were reeling. We went and played in the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We were exposed because of injuries at the offensive line, and Patrick Mahomes ran backwards and sideways for, I believe, 498 yards in that game, running for his life in that Super Bowl. And we got blown out. And immediately, Brett Veach went to the market and said, you know what, we got to fix this. We got to get this fixed, and we're going to make it happen. And they did that with the draft and Joe Tooney, and it equated to three straight Super Bowl appearances and two Super Bowl wins. And you got a lot out of him from not just a winning perspective, but also from a leadership perspective. So I feel like, you know, this is the nature of the beast in the business side, but at the same time, you recognize how great Joe Tooney has been for this organization, the success that we've experienced because of players like him. You wish him the best. You just know that this is just part of the business.
I also then worry because when Brett Veach decides to part ways with somebody, you wonder why. And this is no shade on Joe Tooney, but it's a fair question given their assessment of talent and timing. You know, what do you think about just the way that Kansas City has been able to do that so well?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, here's part of it is that if you were shipping him to someone who did not have history and experience with the Chiefs organization, I think that could be a valid question. But Poles came here from Kansas City. He knows the inner workings of each player as well as how the organization works. So for that trust level to be heightened as it is, I don't think there's anything to really be concerned about. I mean, he finished the season. He's been an Iron Man since he's been in the league, started 146 games. Like, I don't think that there's really any meat on the bone there in regards to concern. Now, anything can happen. I mean, we've seen that with L'Jarius Sneed. We've seen that with other players that have departed. But I don't think there's anything to be worried about at this point. I think he can be a staple of your offensive line from a leadership standpoint and production standpoint.
Danan, I have to say you sound a little overall disappointed in this. And for whatever reason, I kind of like that.
Oh, man.
That makes me, I'm just being honest, it makes me feel good as a Bears fan that you're a little let down. I wonder, though, had the Bears not made this trade, would he have been waived
Is it possible he could have been signed as a free agent?
Yeah, I don't know with the salary cap hit that would have been taken. I don't know if that would have been the casualty factor in it. But I think this is a graceful way and a respectful way for an organization and a great player to kind of part ways. So, yeah, I am not happy about it at all. I mean, scrambling through the locker room, as you mentioned, leading into this interview, that we hadn't experienced very many losses. So to go into the locker room at times when we have lost, looking for guys to speak to who are not going to be giving me one-word answers or be difficult interviews was a rarity at times, but Joe Tooney always stepped up to the plate. Very respectful, eye-to-eye communication, handshakes, very personable. So, yeah, it is definitely, when you lose one of those type of guys, it's definitely something that the Chiefs kingdom will feel for some time, but you recognize that we got to make something happen, especially with the way we lost that Super Bowl.
$16 million hit, by the way, this year,
yeah,
which is a lot less than the $26.9 million of last year. Just to me, this is real simple. He's the older player between him and Trey Smith, so you keep the young guy. I mean, that's kind of how I saw it, Dane. And is that the way you're looking at it?
Yeah, I think so. And then also, if you would have gotten some mileage out of Wanye Morris or Kingsley Suamataia at the left tackle position, and you didn't really feel like you had to address that, then maybe you could figure something out with Joe Tooney. But now with the holes that need to be filled at that tackle position, I just don't feel like you would tie up as much money into the entire offensive line as you would have had to if you kept Joe Tooney. So, yeah, once you got Trey Smith, I think that's a component, and you franchise him for sure. But if you had the luxury of having a right tackle and left tackle starting based on drafting them in the last 2 years with Wanye and Kingsley, I think you could maybe make some concessions at the guard position that might have kept them.
Dane and Hughes, thanks so much for popping on to talk about the news. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay, extra point.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Fast forward to the first Bears OTA in June or training camp practice in August. After the last two frenetic days, can you envision what the ideal Bears O-line left to right will be on the first day when the Bears hit the grass?
Well, this question is hard to answer, but it is hypothetical. I wonder how Braxton Jones will recover from his offseason leg injury. And he had surgery back in December? Or was it
yeah, he did, and it killed the rest of his season.
Yeah. But if he comes back, are you penciling him in at left tackle? But let's go for the sake of the exercise.
Yeah.
What if the Bears go out and get Drew Dahlman in free agency and they draft an offensive tackle, let's say Will Campbell at number 10? Then you've got Will Campbell lined up next to Joe Tooney, lined up next to Drew Dahlman, lined up next to Jonah Jackson, lined up next to Darnell Wright. That is an offensive line that would make you confident that you could execute an offense that Ben Johnson brought to Chicago and execute it well and protect your quarterback and establish the run and have some depth with Braxton Jones, with Bill Murray, the guy they tendered yesterday. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Not the comedian.
Bill's back.
He's
smartest guy in the Bears locker room, according to Tevin Jenkins.
Maybe a guy like Pryor, maybe another depth piece, but they would have
like
guys to back up. Ryan Bates would be a backup in that scenario. So you have quality depth. You've got a five that you could live with, and you've got a answer to your offseason problem. So, yeah, I think it would be ideally, in my world, Campbell, Tooney, Dahlman, Jackson, Wright.
I mean that sounds great. Can you give me
Braxton? Set up this extra point.
Is Braxton Jones your left tackle or no?
No.
Who's your left tackle?
Will Campbell.
All right. See, I think that's where we might get a little too ambitious.
Like, what about Kelvin Banks?
With the offensive, like the investment into the offensive line. They still have to play defense a little bit, right? They still need an interior and an outside defensive. They probably could use another. You should never ignore cornerback in the draft. What's going on with the safety position? I'm just saying, I love it, David. Like, I could get on board with that. I just think that might be a little too ambitious.
I bet you I'm too ambitious. You want to have both sides of the ball served? I would. Your Christmas list as a kid must have been something.
Oh yeah, you know how long? Again, depending on your age, you might remember this. So I was a big like Army guy, like Christmas yeah. Army guys in Star
G.I.
Wars.
G.I. Joe and
the green,
whatnot.
The green, not G.I. Joe, just like the old plastic green army men.
So
there
yeah.
was this thing yeah. called the. But you know when you like did these little battles, right? You asked David, so here you go. Now you got to sit back and listen to the story. So you'd have like green army men versus green army men in the sandbox. You never got like gray army men or white army men or brown. Like it was green against green. So it's like the United States battling the United States, you know, and you wanted the Germans against the United States, right? Well, they had this thing called the Guns of Navarone. It was a plastic rock with two cannons and then these little white army men. They were like stormtroopers. They were the Germans, right? The Guns of Navarone. It took my parents like three Christmases to get it. To like finally secure it from the Sears catalog, right? My mom still has this thing. Okay, I'm over 40. My mom still has the Guns of Navarone up in the attic of the house over in Elmhurst. Okay, so like, yeah, your Christmas list is long, and you wait a long time.
Yep.
You asked, David.
I know.
Anybody else have the Guns of Navarone? Feel free to text. We can chat back and forth about the Guns of Navarone. I think it's going to be Braxton Jones, Joe Tooney. I'm going to skip the center. Jonah Jackson is your center, and Will Campbell is playing right guard and is your future tackle at left.
Mm.
That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Just going to push back a little bit.
Okay. I think I am going to stick with
Drew Malman, too expensive.
If we're doing like realistic here, Braxton Jones is your left tackle. Joe Tooney. My old friend Joe Tooney. That sounds like a Hawk guy.
Does
Joe
Tooney. Like
let me tell you about Joe Tooney. Tim Stutzel and Joe Tooney.
Stutzy.
Stutzy. Stutzy with the kick last night at the UC.
Tim Stutzel.
Mercy.
He never should have put that. How you get away with kicking a goal in? I don't understand that.
That makes one cuss.
Tell you about Joe Tooney. So Braxton Jones at left tackle. Joe Tooney left guard. I do think they'll make a play for Dahlman at center. I'm leaving right guard blank. I think Jonah Jackson is going to be backing up that position.
That's ridiculous.
Darnell Wright is your right tackle.
Mark, we'll come back and talk about this.
What, because they gave up Mark, a six-rounder for him?
They are paying Jonah Jackson $17.5 million next year. He will be the highest paid Bears offensive lineman. He is not being paid that sum, that total. To be a backup.
What if they did draft Will Campbell and put him in and wanted him to play guard? You would be like, no, we gotta have Jonah Jackson in there because
yes,
we paid him $17 million.
Yes,
the
I
Bears
would.
Are supposed to be doing things
Welcome
differently.
Welcome to the NFL.
The Bears are supposed to be doing things differently.
We'll continue this when Bears. We get back when Grody's wrong still and again. It's Mullen Haw.
Bernstein and Harris.
Jarrett Payton.
Marshall, you've done a really, really good job.
Middays 10 till 2.
You guys have become the perfect match, man. It is so much fun to listen to.
Would you bring in another quarterback ostensibly to compete with Caleb Williams?
I like Tyson Bagent. I think Tyson Bagent has done some really good things. There's a lot to like about that young man.
Would you have him competing with Caleb Williams for the number one job?
Well, I think he could make things interesting because I think, you know, for him, he's grown as a player. He's very mature, but he's played a lot of football.
But I guess the question is, if you're coaching and you're starting out and you're in the quarterback room and you say, listen, this job is not decided. Every rep is going to be graded, and the person who has the better training camp is going to be the starting quarterback.
It's too late for that. Everybody already knows that Caleb Williams is the quarterback.
Not everybody's happy about it.
I'm not sure I understand what that just was. All right.
Your face, though, when he said what he said about Tyson Bagent was priceless.
Well, it's more than that I'm trying to figure out. It's like if coaches are basically infallible, and yet they had to get rid of the coaches because the coaches weren't good, yet the coach should be in full control. I was just confused as to the relationship between coach and player, and understanding that it's possible that it's not the player's problem, especially when they went to the coaches as an organized group to say, you're coaching us wrong.
Coaching us poorly. And also, this idea that it's on the players because what have you won? You haven't won anything. Matt Eberflus hasn't won anything either. That was my point. What has Matt Eberflus done to convince you? And no, he brought up the point. He's good at calling a defense. Yes, he can call a defense. Guess what? That's not his job.
One of the worst Bears head coaches ever. And did I hear Dick Geron and Bill Belichick in the same breath?
You did. You did, in fact. Dick and it Geron, wasn't as antonyms.
Dick Geron was a
synonymous.
Wonderful guy. A terrific guy. He had one fluky winning season in 10 years. They played in one playoff game. Dick Geron's teams in 10 years played in one playoff game, and the Philadelphia Eagles kicked the Bears' ass. And Hugh Douglas was jumping up and down on top of Jim Miller for most of that game.
Not jumping up and down on Jim Miller.
You saw it?
Yes. The way you described it, though, just now.
He's just bouncing his head around the whole time. It's giving
cartoon vibes.
That was wild. So you ask, who do you want for the backup quarterback? I think the question is this. Do you want in a backup quarterback? It's a philosophical question. Do you want somebody who has a high variance level?
Or do you want, we're calling it?
Maybe this, more talent but higher variance. Or do you want someone who is lesser talent, more scheme specific, who can be... just get you into a game and out of a game, run the stuff, and that's that. I think that I would like the former rather than the latter. I wouldn't mind like a boom or bust backup quarterback here and there, because you're probably going to lose those games anyway.
I think I want a high floor without as much of a ceiling, because I'm confident that Ben Johnson is going to make the most out of... I think we're talking about the same thing in two different ways, because your whole thing with the high variance is that you believe Ben Johnson's going to get the high part of that variance.
Like, if Jameis Winston were the Bears' backup.
You just had to go right there, straight up.
I'm just asking, if Jameis Winston were the Bears' backup, you're like, oh my God, the guy's a turnover machine, then maybe Ben Johnson's like, hey, never worked with me before. You're going to get all the touchdowns and fewer interceptions with Jameis. Because he'll pick up my system, he'll listen to me.
So it won't be a 1-to-1 ratio, is what you're saying? Touchdowns and the interceptions.
I hate that phrase. I'm just asking questions. Yeah. But I don't.
But you are just asking questions.
You're going to lose the games your backup starts anyway.
If your backup's Tyson Bagent. He's 2-2, right?
He's
starting quarterback.
He's apparently Tom Brady now. I didn't know. I looked at the numbers. I must be confused. My computer must be wrong. My TV must be bad.
So let me counter your Jameis Winston with a Marcus Mariota.
Okay.
You're on board?
It's a backup quarterback.
But any of these names I'm giving you, just like the name you just gave me, that is in place of Tyson Bagent. Or would you rather just keep Tyson Bagent? You act like it doesn't matter, but it does matter because backup quarterbacks
play. More experience is better. Yeah, if you're trying to win, I don't think your backup quarterback should be some developmental Division II guy. I said that last year.
Okay, so who's at the top of your list? How about this? I just give you some names, and you tell me what you think about the names, okay? As a general idea, Joe Flacco.
Too old.
Okay. Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, I don't mind a Gardner Minshew.
He falls under the category of fun backup who can get you through. He played the whole back half of the season for the Colts a couple years ago and got them to the playoffs,
yes,
right? Or just short of the playoffs?
Last game.
That's right.
Did I say Zach Wilson already?
No.
Zach Wilson.
Meh.
Drew Locke.
Nah.
The aforementioned Carson Wentz. No interest there?
No, I'm good.
Mason Rudolph? Joshua Dobbs?
I like Josh Dobbs, but he would fit in the higher risk, higher reward, right?
I think so, yeah. Jarrett Stidham?
I've always liked Jarrett Stidham. That was I liked him coming out of college. I've always liked him. I gotta say yes on that. I would be interested in Jarrett Stidham.
Okay. Out of the names I've listed so far, who is your favorite?
Jameis.
I didn't list Jameis.
I did.
Jameis is literally the next person I was going to mention because okay. I was going to get you like in a title
that's
contender.
That's why I beat you to it. I don't know. Of that group, maybe Mariota or Minshew.
I like Mariota. I think Mariota's a good call. Minshew, proven as a backup who had to become a starter for a stretch and looked pretty good doing it. Again, a lot of this goes back to your confidence in Ben Johnson. A few more names for you here. I know the answer to some of them. Cooper Rush.
You know, he had a couple nice games, but
no.
No.
Nick Mullins.
No.
Desmond Ridder.
No.
Trey Lance.
No.
Teddy Bridgewater.
No.
You coaching high school right now?
I think he is back to coaching high school, but he got signed off that high school coaching job when his season was over. He said, I'm going to play some NFL football.
That must be nice.
Josh Johnson?
Mm-mm.
Is there anybody I haven't mentioned that you're...
Jameis.
Do you guys feel anyone one way or another about Jameis?
I'm for Jameis. I think Jameis is an upgrade over Tyson Bagent.
But is he an upgrade over? Is he an upgrade over Marcus Mariota?
Yes.
I'm
not going to go as far as Mariota, but I will say, yeah, duh, over Bagent. And I think, you know, yeah, there's the high risk, but there's high reward. I think, you know, hopefully, ideally, the time will be limited. Therefore, the interceptions will be limited.
Okay. I mean, it would be an objectively fun game if not frustrating in the moment. An objectively fun game if he went out on a random Sunday to fill in for a God forbid injured Caleb Williams and threw 5 touchdowns and 3 picks and the Bears won like 40-30.
Okay,
and then we're in here next day all comfy, right?
We would be comfy. That is a we would no. That's not comfy because you have to be up. Two digits in the tens column for it to be company. So it'd have to be 40-29.
Okay. Well, all right. Fine.
One more name. Russell Wilson.
He won't be a... No.
Oh.
I don't think he'd be
okay. Look,
happy as a backup.
I'm just throwing names out here. Jim Miller said he needs competition. Russell Wilson could certainly get him some competition. He's got experience. Overall, you guys are going with Jameis. I'm going with Marcus Mariota. I think we can all agree a lot of the names that I said are an upgrade over Tyson Bagent.
And you guys haven't mentioned the elephant in the room. Justin Fields is available.
Justin Fields, I thought he was going to re-sign with Pittsburgh and be their
starter. That's what they're saying, but right now he's a free agent.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So is Aaron Rodgers and so is Sam Darnold, but I didn't mention those names either.
He also never proved he can do the things that Ben Johnson prioritizes.
Yeah, be on time with it.
Yeah, that's
number one.
The issue of quick decisions, quick releases, throw people open. I mean, he can make some incredible throws, but he never... at least to yet has shown the kind of aptitude in the offense that Ben Johnson would prioritize.
And we bring this question up because is the machine's good to go, right?
The meatball machine?
Yes.
Yeah, we had that power surge earlier, but yes.
So we want to present to those at home or wherever you are listening, because I think the backup quarterback thing is it's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 on my priorities list, just below tight end, backup quarterback. Because you have to wonder if Ben Johnson is thinking of making a move to get a more veteran quarterback, someone that maybe can help guide Caleb. Although Jim Miller kind of described Tyson Bagent as if he is a veteran quarterback, right? Even though he has limited playing time?
Technically, going into his third year, that'd be a
Come
vet,
on, man.
Right?
Come on,
technically,
man.
That's a vet, an NFL vet. In the technical definition of the term.
How many starts has Tyson Bagent made?
4.
It's just those 4, right? The 2-2 stretch with Justin Fields?
Yeah, because Caleb played every game last year.
Yeah, I think it would behoove the Bears to have someone with more experience, perhaps, if Ben Johnson deems it so. I'm not the expert here, but I have thoughts.
Meatball machine.
All right, so get on it. Get on the meatball machine. We will play the results tomorrow.
The question is, how do you feel about the backup quarterback situation, and is there someone in mind?
Yeah, you can answer it any way you want.
Yeah.
If you're talking about
if you're team Bajent, like Dan here.
Obviously. Or just look, risk reward. Do you want it like a Chase Daniel type coach on the field game manager? Or do you want potential Yaha time because Ben Johnson
with
is
Jameis
here?
Winston.
Yeah. I like the chaos agent of because you're probably gonna lose those games anyway. They might as well be fun.
Yeah, so you go to the Odyssey app, right next to Listen Live, just hit the button, record your message.
Yeah, just that's your therapeutic machine. You know, therapy's good, but this is the next best thing. It's a coping mechanism and a way for us to connect with you, the meatball machine. So get it done. We'll try to come up with some of the best of tomorrow.